I think it would be true if I said that I think everyone here has been an eyewitness to something remarkable that has happened. Something may have just been yesterday. It could have been something that happened early in our lives. But we can remember the details like it was yesterday. I would venture to say that if I took a poll of hands, that there are some here today that would remember November 22nd, 1963, when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. You might even remember the following Sunday, as I do, watching TV when Jack Ruby pulled a gun and killed Lee Harvey Oswald. Black and white memories, to be sure. We got to see remarkable things like four lads from Liverpool who would capture the hearts and minds of America at a time when they needed it most, to heal the hole in their hearts from the assassination of their beloved president. The Telstar satellite made it possible for transatlantic broadcast to become a reality, and you could actually see what was happening live in London on a TV in New York. I remember these things, and it's so amazing what has taken place from the early 60s up to today, when you can text somebody in Africa, or you can see a video of something that took place yesterday in Czechoslovakia. Absolutely amazing. Mind-boggling, I would say. Can you remember sitting and watching man set foot on the moon for the very first time? Anybody here present remember that? Yeah. There are some that are way too young to remember that, like our choir. The back row. Then I wonder how many of us remember watching the announcement of the end of the Vietnam War or the resignation speech by President Richard Nixon. Do you remember what you were doing on the night when a Beatle, John Lennon, had been gunned down in the front of his apartment building in New York? Or the football hero who the world watched driving a white Ford Bronco for what seemed like hours, being pursued by the Los Angeles Police Department. Remember how a stunned America was glued to their TV watching the destruction of the World Trade Center and the many lives lost on September 11, 2001. In each of these events, it's as if we were right there as eyewitnesses to the news. We have the benefit of the wonders of technology, but the apostles never had such luxury. They witnessed some extraordinary events in their lives, but the only record of those events is whatever was written down or told to someone else. From the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, our Lord showed the apostles what God was doing right before their very eyes. And many times it was not what they were expecting. Just before today's Holy Gospel at Caesarea Philippi, in the northern part of Israel, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" It was Peter who had the God-given insight to answer the question when Jesus fine-tuned it and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And he jumped forward immediately and said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The Greek word for Christ is Christos, and it means Messiah or anointed one. Matthew's gospel has Simon Peter saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:16. And when Peter spoke this to Jesus, he's most likely called him Yeshua HaMashiach, which translated means Jesus the Christ or Jesus the Messiah. You see, I think a lot of people think that Christ is Jesus' last name. It's not, of course. The title Christ was the equality to or what was his identity. Christ meaning Messiah. The Apostle Paul often will refer to Jesus Christ as saying Christ Jesus or Messiah Jesus. And based on all they had seen to this point, the miracles that healed thousands of people, their diseases, driving out demons, feeding of 5,000, or then again 4,000, and that was just the men, not counting the women and children. The calming of the storm, Jesus walking on the water, and so many more things. They were starting to put it together, little by little, but they still had questions. And it was not until the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost that doubt was totally removed from their minds. What Peter, James, and John would experience on a mountain near Caesarea Philippi would let them know that Simon Peter's words were indeed true. It probably took place on a mountain just north of Caesarea Philippi that is called Mount Hermon, where Jesus took his three trusted disciples to be eyewitnesses to the news of his true identity. Jesus would reveal to them not only who he was, but what he had come to do. They would see that Jesus had come to continue and complete the tasks of the great prophet Elijah and of the one who would be there as well, the great prophet of old, Moses. They appear on that mountain alongside Jesus, who is shining, absolutely glowing. Scripture says his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Mark 9:3. Luke's gospel describes it this way. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. And it says that they were talking about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment shortly in Jerusalem. Luke 9:29 to 31. Now the key phrase here is glorious, which describes that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are in the glory of God. And so they shine. Yeah. The three apostles saw Jesus, his face, change to his face as the heavenly Son of God. But the fact that Moses and Elijah were shining as well indicates that there's something more here for us to learn. In the presence of God the Father, whose voice is audibly heard, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are so caught up in the love, power, and the kingdom of God that it transforms them with shining light. Jesus is not just telling parables to his apostles about the kingdom of God and what it's like. Here he's showing them. The three apostles are seeing something that up to that point had only been seen by one person. And the people who come on Wednesday night to our Bible study know who I'm talking about. You see, in Exodus 34:29, Moses glowed. We discussed that just this Wednesday. And it says, "And it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin on his face shone because of his speaking with him. The effect of the glory of God was visible to others by the glowing of his face." Now it was happening on this mountain with Elijah as well. And the voice of God the Father was heard from out of a cloud saying, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." First, did you notice a cloud formed? Those who have been studying Exodus know about the fact that God led the Israelites by cloud. And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. Exodus 13:21. The Lord God was showing them signs that he had used before for Peter, James, and John to make the connection with God leading his people out of the bondage of Egypt and to recognize that they too were going to be freed from bondage. The bondage of sin and death. The voice of God the Father, which was heard at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, was now saying what Jesus had been telling them is the absolute truth. And that they needed to listen to every word that he had to say. The sight of Moses and Elijah when these words are spoken illustrates that they've been extremely important in preparing the way so far, but that Jesus was going to finish the job. My dear friends, Jesus is the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. Moses symbolizing the law and Elijah symbolizing the prophets. In seeing them glowing radiantly and hearing God the Father's voice, the apostles were given the hope that through listening to and following their Lord Jesus, they would share in God's glory, the glory that knows no darkness, only light for all eternity. And that same promise, my friends, is here for us as well. Knowing Jesus, listening to his words, and obeying his commands is all we need to receive the glory that can only come from God Almighty. Jesus gives them orders not to reveal what they've seen until the Son of Man rises from the dead. This must have puzzled them. Jewish thought at the time was that resurrection would happen only at the end of time. You remember Lazarus? When Martha came along and spoke to Jesus in John's Gospel, and she said, if only he had been there, her brother would not have died. And Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And she said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. They didn't think that resurrection was going to happen to one person before it would happen to everyone. Can you imagine how these three former fishermen were trying to process what they were seeing, what they were hearing of the eyewitness news that was right before them? Of course, that we know that Peter, in his confusion, wanted to build three tabernacles or three booths to honor Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Processing all of this was something that would not be complete until much, much later, until after Jesus died, rose from the dead, and ascended to the Father. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, only then was Peter able to go out into Jerusalem and preach the good news, proclaiming the truth about Jesus of Nazareth. He stood that day and he preached about Jesus, making the clear connection for all to hear. He said these words, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified, Acts 2:36. Peter had told Jesus at Caesarea Philippi that he was indeed the Christ, the Messiah. But now he was telling the whole world. He called upon them to repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 souls came into the community of believers that day. Ironically, that's the exact number that were slain after Moses came down the mountain and the golden calf was being worshipped. 3,000 souls. Peter understood the importance of everything he saw and learned during his time with Jesus, and he makes that clear at the very beginning of his second epistle. He wants to set the record straight. You heard the words just shortly before that Jay read so clearly and so wonderfully for us in our second reading. The extraordinary events that were being told about Jesus were not made up falsities. They were truth. Peter said this, he wrote, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. In effect, Peter is stating that he and the other apostles, eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry, life, death, and resurrection, has allowed them to look back on the entire work of biblical prophecy. In fact, the entire Bible from the very beginning, to see that it all made sense. Peter sees the Bible is filled with signs pointing to Yeshua, to Jesus, as the long-promised Messiah. And that on that mountain, God's own word confirmed the truth. Or as Peter said, made more sure. The end of today's reading, in verse 19, Peter encourages all of us to hold on to the words of Scripture as if we people cling to a bright lamp in the darkest part of the night until the day when Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, he will do so as the bright morning star, ready to usher in the great day of the Lord that the prophets Zephaniah and Joel spoke of in Zephaniah 1:14 and Joel 2:11. We have to be patient, for as Jesus said, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone." On that day, believers of Jesus Christ will share in the glory that was seen on the mountain by Peter, James, and John, and the glory that bathed Moses and Elijah in the presence of Almighty God. In the two verses immediately following today's reading, Peter affirms that his eyewitness of the prophecy fulfilled is and could only be from God himself, and that none of it was man-made, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he says this, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoken from God." Critics and detractors will try as hard as they can, but the fact remains there was no conspiracy to make up nice stories, but the transformation that took place in each of the apostles, each of the eyewitnesses to the life, work, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was so remarkable that it could only have been done by the hand of God as evidence of the truth of his Son, the Word of God incarnate. And written Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. My brothers and sisters, I'll leave you with these words. You've got to read it to believe it. Be an eyewitness. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.